I could have your attention for a few moments. I want to pick up from that passage Barb was reading from earlier in Luke chapter 2. We've been preaching for the last few weeks on some of the songs of joy, songs of praise, songs of salvation, songs of thanksgiving that surrounded the Christmas story. And it's amazing that in each of these songs, there's always an emphasis on salvation. For instance, a few weeks ago, we saw Mary's Magnificat in chapter 1. The passage started in 39, but if you're familiar with that passage, verse 46, when she started her song of praise, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant." Think about the emphasis of this young girl that God had chosen for this miraculous birth that we refer to as the virgin birth. And there's one thing that was interesting about all of these songs, everyone expressing himself through the Holy Spirit knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament, because that was what they had at that point. And this young mother who was to deliver the Lord Savior into the world, she knew the Word of God. A verse before that, in verse 45, said, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." The Gospels is all about the fulfillment of the promised Messiah mentioned so many times in the Old Testament. But think about that. Mary said, "My soul magnifies God." My soul, my heart, my soul exalts, declares the greatness of God. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And see, in that statement, she's expressing that God has saved me. He has become my personal Savior. And so you have an emphasis there on personal salvation. Mary expressed a personal salvation in her relationship with God. Then we saw Zechariah's prophecy, and he broke out into the song also, and it says in the early verses of that in chapter 1, verse 67, then his father Zechariah, and you remember he was the father of John the Baptist, who was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And you remember he had expressed unbelief, and so he became mute as a result of that. And then later his voice, his speech was released, and then it picks up in this, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was another characteristic that was true of all of these. They were filled, they were controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, anointed them for a specific, significant periods and interventions of history that he planned on using them to fulfill all that was prophesied. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. That word prophesied just simply means he became God's voice. He became God's spokesman as the Holy Spirit led him to give to us that which the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, wanted him to deliver to us. He said, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and provided redemption for his people." So he speaks of salvation to the nation of Israel, to God's chosen people. So again, you have an emphasis on salvation. And of course, we're reminded over and over in the scriptures that even later on in Jesus' ministry, he reminded us over and over, "I came to seek and to save those who were lost. That was my mission." Now, I want to pick up in chapter 2 then. Barb shared with you those first seven verses in chapter 2, which brings us the birth of Christ. Now, you pick up in chapter 8, and you have a scene where the shepherds and the angels. And I gave this the title of the heavenly host. Again, you have a heavenly host breaking out into praise and joyful song to our Lord and Savior. And so in verse 8, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Version, and it says, "In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over the flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Again, you see salvation to who? For the whole world, to all people, to anyone who would confess their need of the Lord Jesus and receive him as their personal Savior. "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, can't you just imagine this heavenly host? What a choir that must have been. And breaking out into song, praise, thanksgiving. "Suddenly there will be a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors.'" Now the verses go on to say, 15 through 20, "When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. And seeing them, they reported the message they were told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them." The King James says, "Mary pondered these things in her heart." Can you imagine at this time, this young girl, this young lady, whom God had chosen? And we have no idea why he chose her. I think the scriptures indicate that she was certainly a humble person. She certainly knew the scriptures. She exalted and glorified God. And I think maybe God looked down and said, "Boy, this is a person I need to bring about this miraculous." And here finally she settled down and she can you just imagine? You mothers can all remember sometimes, you know, it's not always easy to get a quiet moment, is it? Especially when you have little ones. How many, anyone have children still under 10? How about under 5? You sometimes find yourself locking yourself in the bathroom and get a little quiet. And but just imagine, she's finally, can't you just see her? She treasured up all these things. She's pondering these things. She's thinking about all that has taken place. She's treasuring up all these things in her heart, and she's meditating on them. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. God never lies. He always tells us the truth. Now, think about just a few things related to this passage with me. You have just two great applications here in verses 8 through 14. You have what the angel said. And then in those last verses, 15 through 20, what the shepherds did. But think about those early verses again. We do not see the glory of this passage until we learn what the shepherds learn. They're out at night keeping watch over their flocks, it says in verse 8. They were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. That wasn't glorious work. It wasn't the best shift at night. Shepherds didn't have the best reputation. The nature of their work meant that they could not observe the Israel ceremonial laws. They were not allowed because of they were looked down upon. They were considered unreliable. They could not even give testimony in the courts of law. They were a despised class of people. Isn't that just like God? You know, sometimes we think, well, God's going to choose the significant, the educated, the sharp. I was sharing something with a younger guy today, and I shared something with him, and he said, that's cool. And they were despised people. God doesn't look down and say, well, let me find the coolest. He certainly didn't do that. You think about the people surrounding this whole story. This young girl, her cousin Elizabeth, lowly shepherds. There's always angels involved. And then you see in verse 9, on that night, it says in verse 9, then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. You see, the dark night, one writer said, he said, the dark night runs away from the shining light of God's glory. They were filled with fear. They were filled with awe and reverence, and this gripped their hearts. And then you get to verses 10 through 12. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you, and here's the theme of this whole passage. I proclaim to you good news. And that's the definition of the gospel. We hear the word gospel so often, and the word gospel means good news. This whole world can use good news, can't it? We could use some good news. Well, this is good news, celebrating the birth of our Savior, right? I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is good news for everyone. This is not just for you and you and you and not you. No, this is good news for everyone. Question is, will you receive it? Will you believe it? Will you accept this Savior? Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. These despised shepherds are the first to receive the announcement of the gospel. These despised shepherds, God chose them to be the first ones to receive that message. And these are the first to learn of the great joy for all the people. And they understand that the gospel is not just for Israel, but it's for all the nations, that everyone may have joy. And there's some interesting highlights in that. To these lowly men, the angel gives the highest theology in verses 10 through 12. Just think about these lowly shepherds. These angels chose to give them this highest of theology. Great joy that will come to all the people. And I proclaim this gospel, this good news, because this Savior was born. And this is the only place in the Gospels where the three names of the Savior is used there in order. He said, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And he reminds them there that of this trilogy of names representing the Lord, this threefold names of the Lord. The word Savior means he's our Redeemer. He came to redeem. He came to deliver us. He came to provide for us a need for our sinful nature. The word Christ means the Messiah. The word Lord is making reference to God himself. And so these despised men, they hear this most wonderful thing about how this joy comes. It comes through the birth of a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord God himself. And this is the only time in the Gospels this phrase is used. It's the only time we see all the titles of Jesus brought together. Savior, the Messiah, Lord. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah promised to Israel, and he is the Lord God. He is God himself, God in the flesh. He is the maker of all. He's the ruler of all. And these angels not only give the gospel to the shepherds, they give the true identity of Christ. They made sure they understood and fully comprehended his full identity there. And it seems that God believes that this high theology should be given to low people. Isn't that fascinating? And sometimes the world has a tendency to look down on those who might not be as fortunate. God doesn't look down on them. And he always provides for them. The fullness of the gospel goes to the poor, just as it would go to anyone. Someone said of the angels know what is going on upon the earth. The angels have borne special messages over and over. They especially watch over children, we're told in Matthew 18:10. They especially minister to believers. I heard an old evangelist say years ago that he had a heavy foot when he drives. Any of you have a heavy foot? And, some of you committing sin right here. And he said, there's no doubt in my mind when I'm driving through these busy streets and these busy roads, there's an angel on my right front bumper and there's an angel on my left front bumper. And he said, that's the only way I survive. They minister to believers. They will be active in the end of the age, we're told in Matthew 13. They will be active in the second coming of the Lord, we're told in Matthew 16 and 2 Thessalonians 1. They will be our companions for eternity, we're told in Revelation 22:9. So when the angel had finished preaching the gospel to the shepherds, the angelic choir came on for a closing hymn, and then God revealed his glory in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. You know, it's really important when you think about so much division, so much unrest in this world today, and you think about peace on earth, and we sing about that, do we not? During the Christmas season, we sing so often about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But peace on earth to people he favors is a reference to all those who would submit themselves to this Messiah. Importantly, though, this angelic announcement of peace on earth that's repeated so often at Christmas time is not about a quiet tranquility or merely the absence of animosity between people, but it's a declaration of the coming end of hostilities between a holy God and a sinful humanity through the atoning work of the Messiah. We think about so much unrest going on in a society today, and those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we know that the answer to mankind, the answer to problems, the solution is Jesus Christ, is it not? And here we are celebrating the birth of our Savior. Only when we have declared righteousness by faith can we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace among people is possible when humanity is living at peace with God and then submitting to the kingdom rule. Let's determine, as we look forward to the end of this year and the coming year, to be peacemakers. Time is so short. And people need encouragement. Now, I'm not going to go all through the verses, but I just remind you the verses we read, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem." And you find there in those verses, the angels simply did this. They spoke. They went to see. They saw what was told them. Then they went and told others, and they rejoiced over it. And I say to you and me tonight, if we truly know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, we ought to be those who will help bring peace on earth by going and by seeing, and the only way you'll see is as you cultivate that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we go tell others, and we rejoice with them as they put their belief in this Savior. Isn't that right? That's so true. The gospel meant great joy to Mary. It meant great joy to the messengers. It meant great joy to the men. And let me ask you, does the gospel mean great joy to you tonight? Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with God? You see, the peace of God comes when you ask Jesus into your heart to be your personal Savior. And you can only have peace with man when you have the peace of God. And let me just ask you in closing, and let me just encourage you as we approach this Christmas season and as you get a chance to get alone maybe and maybe open these scriptures and read Luke 1 and 2. And maybe like Mary of old, we can ponder in our hearts, we can treasure in our hearts and meditate on these things. And I think this is a good time of the year for us to seek the Savior. Spread the story of good news and sing the songs. Let's sing the songs about Jesus. Now, I know the kids like Rock Around the Christmas Tree, maybe, but we've heard some great songs tonight, haven't we? Outside the traditional songs, I would say Chuck Berry's Run, Rudolph Run's probably my favorite. But boy, isn't it good to reflect. Keith sang, "Oh, Holy Night." And I hope you reflect on the words. Let's sing the song. Someone wrote this short poem. He said, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I can give him my heart." You might say, "I don't have much to give," especially this time of the year, right? But it is a time to give, isn't it? But the greatest thing you could give back to Jesus tonight is your heart. Now, I hope you'll leave tonight, and I hope you'll reflect later on this evening and maybe even tomorrow. "Lord, I'd like to just renew my relationship with you. I'd like to give you access. I'd like to experience what Mary did. I'd like to ponder and treasure in my heart all the blessings, all the joy, all that comes with a faith, not only in the Savior who came, but the one who went to the cross and died and was buried, and then he arose on the third day, and he brought us victory over death. God, I give you my heart, and help me as I look forward to a new year to start off with a fresh relationship with you. I'm going to get back in the Word, get back in my prayer life, and maybe you need to get back in church. We know a good one we could tell you about, if you're looking for a good church. But let me encourage you to ponder these things, treasure these things, and let's spend this Christmas time reflecting on the true story. I have 9 grandchildren. I have pictures on my phone if you'd like to see them on the way out. But I was talking to my youngest son, who has given me 5 of them, 4 little girls and a little boy. I was talking to him early on the phone today, and they attend a large church in Houston, Texas, and he said, we're just leaving our Christmas Eve service. He got in the early service so they could get a seat. But he was doing the Advent candles with his kids. And he said the two older girls just burnt their Advent candles today. And I thought, boy, what a great thought. Just to remind them of what Christmas is all about. Let's give him our heart. Would you do that tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for such a precious Savior. And I'm sure with many of us, there's so much that surrounds us that we can't fully comprehend. And Lord, as much as I've studied the Scriptures, I can't fully explain this virgin birth to a young girl who had never known a man. Yet we see so many miraculous things that took place through the birth of Jesus. God sent his Son, God in the flesh. Jesus left heaven to live on this earth like us and to experience the same things we experience. Then he went to the cross and died for our sins. And I pray tonight as we leave this service that our reflection will be on the need to have a relationship with you. I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that even this moment right now, they'll ask you, Lord, to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins and to give them eternal life. They'll repent of those sins and they'll confess to you and put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And I pray that you'll help all of us not to forget. In all of the happiness and joy that we're going to experience later on tonight and even tomorrow with our families, Lord, help us to reflect on the importance of the place that Jesus plays in our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.